You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government. Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
Y'all heard, right? Y'all, I hope y'all got y'all like bow and arrows. And what do preppers get? I guess you got to get an axe. You always need an axe and a chainsaw. And wait, y'all haven't heard? Like, it's got 2 more months and the purge will be here. Oh, y'all haven't heard? Well, in that case, welcome to The Griot Daily, the only podcast that's going to tell you about the coming Negro Purge.
I'm world-famous white peepologist Michael Harriet, and this is The Griot Daily.
If you haven't heard about this, Illinois and a few other states in the country have either passed bills or have suggested bills, legislation, that people are calling purge laws.
Illinois will be the first state in the nation to end cash bail starting next year. And that is sparking a concern that more criminals could be out on the street.
The new law that goes into effect January 1st, 2023, gets rid of cash bail entirely. It also limits who can be arrested and held in jail based on the crime they're alleged to have committed.
Basically, these are laws that say that many of the things that you could be arrested for and put in jail, you can no longer be detained for. But some of them are as serious as like assault and battery, drug dealing. And people are saying like they're just going to give people a ticket for attempted murder. And some of the laws even do say that, but to understand what's happening, you have to understand a few things, and that's what we're going to talk about. If you want to understand this law, so the Illinois law is called the SAFE T Act, right? Like that's an acronym that stands for something. But, you know, legislators love acronyms. I don't know why, but, you know, like white people like acronyms. Like, you know, like the only acronym I love is operating under the Good American System too long. That's OutKast, pronounced OutKast. And, the good die young over mostly everything. That's Goody Mob. But, besides those two, I don't subscribe to most acronyms. I don't believe in acronyms. But the Safety Act basically says that from now on, a lot of criminal acts will be, police still will investigate them. You will still get in trouble for them. The penalties for those acts haven't changed. It's just that, like, when you're arrested for them, they'll pick you up, they'll book you, and then a judge will determine if you're a threat to society, and then release you. And people are saying that this is crazy. For instance, you know, usually like, I know you've probably seen this, like, you know, a white person will kill somebody and they'll get like a $18 bond. And then a black person will be get caught, you know, spitting out of his window at the police and get like a $2 million bond. And we're like, you know, raise the bond. Or, you know, you'll always hear somebody talking about, you know, a random person was murdered by someone who was out on bail. And so that shows that, you know, our bail laws are too lax. But what these so-called purge laws address is an issue that I have been screaming about for a long time. So first you have to know that the American Constitution says that you can't criminalize. It outlaws what we used to call pauper's prison. Basically, you can't criminalize somebody. It's not a criminal offense to be poor. And not only is it not a criminal offense to be poor, you can't like incarcerate somebody for not being able to pay a debt. So, that is a provision provided in the Constitution, and it's kind of embedded in a couple of different amendments. But again, It is a protection afforded by the U.S. Constitution. Now, you know how the Constitution works for a long time. Black people didn't get the same kind of constitutional laws that white people get. And I say for a long time because, you know, things might change between the time that I'm recording this and the time that you're watching it. But when I say for a long time, it means for all of the history that America has existed. But lately, and I'm not talking about just lately, I'm talking about since we've been here, black people have been fighting against this. And the way that they've been fighting about it is that they've been trying to outlaw cash bail. Like, and I know you're thinking, like, why would they outlaw cash bail? Because it's unconstitutional, right? So, first of all, you should know that there is no data that says, like, people who get a higher bond won't commit crimes. It just makes it harder for them to get out of jail and after they've been arrested. And of course, we all know that black people are unjustly arrested more than white people. In fact, black people who are arrested are more likely to not be convicted. And white people who are arrested are usually convicted for harsher crimes than they've been arrested for. So in other words, white people get the benefit of the doubt. They don't even get arrested. Like, I know you've seen on TV where they said, like, this white person, you know, is accused of murder. So, like, he turned himself in, or the police are waiting for him to turn themselves in. And you're like, oh, you could do that? Like, I didn't. Like, you ever seen a black person turn themselves in? Like, remember, like, they didn't even let OJ turn himself in. They, like, chased him down the freeway. But, again, this goes back to the Constitution, right? So, again, this is a couple of different amendments that combine to make this idea, right? One is, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. So when the police come and arrest you and charge you with a crime, you're still technically, according to the law, innocent. But most people who are in jail in the United States, like almost 80% of the people in jail, not in prison, not incarcerated, not, you know, in state prisons, but just in city and county jails, are there because they couldn't pay their bond. Right. Like, and then like the average person in a jail in America for more than 30 days earns less than like $10,000 a year. So although we like to believe that, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, if someone could charge you with a crime and incarcerate you because you don't have the money, then you are paying a penalty as an innocent person, because until you go before a judge, you're innocent. What does this have to do with these purge laws? Well, these are the things that these purge laws are trying to address. Again, when I talk about these people who are in city and county jails, it ain't like, you know, it's a whole vacuum or a different universe. Like, we're paying for that. And we are subsidizing the police, the criminal justice system that is criminalizing poverty. Again, these people are in jail, are innocent because they haven't been proven guilty and they can't pay to get out. Even if it is assault, even if it is, you know, a violent crime. Well, the U.S., the Constitution and precedent, legal precedent, provides for this, right? So it's not just that, you know, the prisoners or police can detain you, right? They say that the only way that the criminal justice system or a person can be detained is for two reasons. One is if there is a chance that they will flee. So you're charged with a crime, and if the police have like a valid reason to believe that you won't show up to your court date, like you got a passport or you are not from the place that they arrested you, or you are, you know, you have been obviously making plans to dodge them, then they can hold you or detain you or charge you with a higher bill. The other provision is if you're a danger to society. So if you're a serial killer and you, you know, you can't stop killing women, then the police, you know, have to, and the judge has to weigh that against your, the possibility that you're innocent, right? So you could, you're still deemed innocent until proven guilty, but the judge can't risk, you know, you going out and killing 17 more women if you're a serial killer just because he wants to show that you're guilty. So they hold you in jail. But for years, people have said, but like, why don't you just, like, if somebody is that kind of a danger, why don't you just keep them in jail until their court date and then speed up, because the Constitution provides for a speedy trial. Why don't you just speed up the time that, you know, instead of making them wait for 2 years to have a trial, give them a speedy trial and prove that they are guilty, or just hold them in jail. Because if you set a $2 million bond, then the only barrier to for them to get out and kill more people is just money. So rich white people can get out and kill more people, but the black dude who, you know, sold a little cocoa in the corner, he'll get a $2 million bond while posing no real threat to society. So these are the arguments for people who are for ending what we call the cash bail system. It doesn't make any sense, right? You shouldn't be held inside a jail as an innocent person, and the only avenue for your release or your freedom is how much money you got, whether you're a rich white person or a poor black person or vice versa, right? So what has been happening all across the country is not that people have been asking state legislatures to change this. They've just been suing. You hold me in court. It's against the Constitution. I am going to sue you or the city or the county or the state for violating my civil or constitutional rights. And all over the country, states and cities and municipalities have been losing. Like, we talk about the money we lose for police brutality, but like these kind of small, relatively small constitutional violations cost billions of dollars every year. And you pay them. Again, you're the taxpayer. You're paying for that jail maintenance. You're paying for that lawsuit. You're paying for that civil liability. And then you also have to pay for your city to be bonded, or what they call insured, by the same companies that issue bail. So these new laws are addressing that, not because they're doing the right thing, not because of a woke agenda, not because liberals have taken over, not because we want to, you know, release the purge on a city, because the Constitution says it. And here's the thing, right? There are cities that have been doing this for years. Los Angeles has quietly been doing this for a year. And guess what happened? It makes cities safer. Like, what? How the hell does it make cities safer to let people out of jail? Well, if you're in jail for 30 days and you make less than $10,000 a year and you're released, you're found innocent or guilty, when you're released, what option do you have in the society that we live in besides crime? Right? None. So we've been not only incarcerating, because it is incarceration, innocent people, but let's say you're innocent. Or let's say you're on the precipice of becoming a criminal and you're arrested and you got to spend a bunch of time in jail for a crime, whether you committed it or not, you got to spend a bunch of time in jail. Who's in that jail with you? What are you learning? You're learning from other people who are criminals. And it changes your values. If you had leaned towards criminality in the first place, now it's like somebody sending you to crime college. So it not only increases poverty, but it also criminalizes stuff like drug use, right? Because if you are arrested for possession and you have the disease of addiction, then when you get out, you're not going to get treatment because you don't have the money now, you don't have a job now, and you've been incarcerated. So you're more likely to commit a crime to facilitate your addiction. But in Los Angeles, what they found, and cities that have tried this around the country, what they found is it actually decreases crime. It absolutely does not increase crime, right? Like, because if a killer was on the loose or, any kind of violent actor was on the loose, and the thing that prevented them from getting out of prison was money, then they were still going to get the money if they could get the money and get out anyway. But these laws provide protection from those people. And it's not like they're letting all the attempted murderers and all the rapists and all the drug dealers out of jail. Nah, what they're saying is you either got to prove that they are a danger, according to the Constitution. You got to prove that they might flee, or you got to adhere to the laws to which we all agreed upon. And that's what these purge laws mean. So don't worry. The white people killer is not going to be knocking on your door demanding that he slit your neck or you give him all the Kool-Aid in the house. Don't worry. The streets are not going to be filled with rapists and drug dealers, unless, of course, your streets are already filled with rapists and drug dealers. But this law isn't going to change that, because the previous laws didn't prevent that. What's going to happen is that people finally are going to be innocent until proven guilty. What's going to happen is that people who are not white are going to be protected by the Constitution that governs our country. What's going to happen is that, okay, I was going to say liberty and justice for all, but that's just crazy. But in any case, don't forget to download the GRIO app. Don't forget to tell a friend about this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and listen and do all of the things that we want you to do. And as always, we'll leave you with a famous black saying. And today's black saying is, you gotta pay the cost to be the boss or to be black.
If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the GRIO app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegrio.com.
You are now listening to The GRIO's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.